Welcome. This is William Evans, and we're shifting gears. We have two guests today. Dan Smitherman speaking with us from Wyoming. Dan is leader of a group called Citizens for the Wyoming Range. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Will. Glad to be here.
And with me in the studio is Zane Kessler, Executive Director of the Thompson Divide Coalition. Welcome, Zane.
Thanks for having me.
There are remarkable similarities to the two areas you gentlemen are concerned with. In Wyoming, a Houston-based drilling company bought leases in the Bridger-Teton National Forest. And here in Colorado, drilling companies, including a notable one from Houston, bought leases in the White River National Forest. And in both cases, these drillers didn't do much with their leases for about 10 years and then decided to drill. To start off, I'd like to ask you both, who does the forest belong to? Zane?
No, these are public lands, and certainly they're managed by the doctrine of multiple use, and so they belong to us as citizens. But, you know, it's important to note that within the doctrine of multiple use, companies also have a right to utilize resources within the forest.
Dan, how do you see the responsibility for the forest and who it belongs to?
Well, I agree with Zane. Our group is very much for multi-use functionality. However, we've always maintained that the citizens are the public in public lands and should have a definitive say in how those lands are used. And one of the points that we've always made that when you define multi-use, that multi-use needs to continue to exist. And a lot of times when development such as oil and gas takes place, that multi-use becomes mono-use because once that area is an industrial site, it tends to remain an industrial site.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about the Noble Basin and the Hoback River.
The Noble Basin is one of the really unique areas in Wyoming because of where it sits in the Yellowstone ecosystem. It's kind of a migration corridor, kind of a crossroads. And almost all of the major ungulate species and major wildlife species in Wyoming either reside there, fawn there, calve there, or come through there at some point in time. The Hoback River, the upper part of it, is a candidate for wild and scenic designation by Congress. 10 miles from Noble Basin to the north, the river becomes wild and scenic and was designated such as in 2009 as part of the Snake River designation.
I'm impressed when I look at a map of our local Thompson Divide that it's this convergence of western Colorado counties and an emergence of watersheds. A lot of headwaters come out of that relatively small, kind of flat, rounded ridge. Zane, tell us about this place and its importance to the health of local life and economics.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right, Will. This is for such a relatively small area of land, a very important watershed. You know, it's home to 15 different watersheds that feed the North Fork of the Gunnison, which obviously supports the Paonia area and one of the most, the largest agribusiness and agritourism economies in the state. Also feeds the Crystal River, which is similar to the Hoback, a candidate for wild and scenic designation. Gold medal trout waters on the lower Roaring Fork River and direct flows into the Colorado River as well. You know, all of those uses that are derived from that water and that watershed have an economic value associated with them. Municipalities such as Glenwood Springs and Carbondale rely on watershed from Thompson Divide for their municipal water source, as well as, you know, heritage ranchers and farmers for, you know, historic water rights that they use for irrigation purposes.
Dan, give us a little background. Tell us who you are and eventually tell us how you identify yourself in regard to this issue of the Hoback Basin.
Well, I'm a retired Marine, and I operated an outfitting business in the Noble Basin area when they first proposed drilling there. And I've always been a public land user. Even when I was not professionally guiding, you know, I hunted a lot of the public lands in western Wyoming. And I guess it was when I realized that this proposal to drill was at the edge of where my permit was for my summer trail rides and stuff, and that I was going to be taking guests along a ridgeline that looked over a gas fill, that I said, you know, it's time to be engaged. It's time to protect the public aspect of that. And as I delved into that and this exercise gained momentum, I became more and more acutely aware of how the public needs not to assume that somebody's looking out for their best interest when it comes to public land, that if we don't get active in protecting them, we're going to lose them.
And so what did you do? How did you mobilize and organize this effort?
That's actually a fairly long story. I'll try to make it short. Initially, whenever energy development in Sublette County, which is where Bondurant is, started to creep north, there was concern about development moving off of BLM, high desert-type sagebrush, into the more traditional mountain area, alpine areas of the National Forest. And a group got together that consisted of people from Trout Unlimited and the Wilderness Society and Senator Craig Thomas, who was one of our senators at the time, and some sportsmen to try to look at legislation to protect national forests, particularly the Wyoming Range, from development. And I got involved with that group very early on because, as I mentioned, I had the outfitting business that was in that area, and they were looking for a coalition of both sportsmen and traditional conservation groups. And I participated in that group until that legislation was successfully passed in 2009 and signed by the President Obama. And then we were actually kind of dormant for about 18 months. And as soon as the master development plan for the Plains exploration proposal was released to the public and the NEPA process started, we reactivated and re-energized and mobilized to focus specifically on that project, because those releases that were grandfathered into that legislation that protected the rest of the forest.
And so you're about to work yourself out of a job. Tell us what's happening.
I hope so. I sincerely hope so. Right now, you know, we have successfully negotiated a price and lease buyout, and actually Trust for Public Lands, which is representing us in this effort, has signed the agreement to buy those lands. So we're in a major fundraising exercise now to complete the financial aspects of this buyout by the end of this calendar year.
Well, we're not that far along. Our situation hasn't reached an agreement, and it seems to change adversely almost daily. Can you update us, Zane, on what's the current situation?
Yeah. Well, I think there are a number of similarities, not only in landscape, but in process between the Thompson Divide Coalition's efforts and those folks up in on the Wyoming Range and around the Hoback. We have draft legislation that's been circulated by Senator Bennett, one of our two U.S. senators here in Colorado, that would essentially withdraw the unleased areas within Thompson Divide, but would also allow the Thompson Divide Coalition and its members the congressional authority to actually purchase and retire existing leases in the Thompson Divide area. We have seen a lot of posturing by the industry lately in an effort, you know, we see on the headlines every other day a new application for permit to drill being filed. It's our belief that that's simply an effort to extend the interest in these leases for these individual companies. You know, these folks have had these leases for over 9.5 years without any development. Additionally, I think one benefit for us in this process is we do, even if the leases are extended, we've got a couple of years worth of environmental review ahead of us, as well as the potential for a master development plan, similar to what Dan mentioned earlier.
And Dan, just to be clear, you're not opposed to drilling everywhere.
Absolutely not. In fact, I think one of the successes and principles that led to our success and one of the things that gave us legitimacy is that we never demonized the industry and we never came across as an anti-energy group. All of us acknowledge that we burn fossil fuels, we use natural gas, and we're part of the problem. And we just felt like that there are places that are, you know, not that everybody's landscape is not special, but there are places that are more appropriate to drill than others. And the area that we were concerned about was just, for a lot of valid scientific reasons, were just not appropriate to drill.
But I'm sure you've visited some of those areas south of you in Sublette County, and tell us what that's like in terms of ranching and recreation and hunting and just living, eating, drinking water, and tending the backyard garden.
Well, it's really kind of interesting you bring that out, because one of the early things we did during the negotiations via TPL was to take the TPL, some of their board of directors and some of their regional managers, and drive them through the areas that lie just 25 or 30 miles to the south of where this proposed development was. We took them into Noble Basin first and said, this is what it looks like now. And then we drove them through the Jonah Field and the Anticline and said, this is what it looks like when you go to full field development. In Sublette County, you know, we saw about a 46% reduction in the mule deer herd. There's an ongoing concern about the sage-grouse populations. There have been some, I think the numbers, in the high 80s, low 90s of documented contaminated wells in Sublette County from hydrocarbons. As everyone knows, you know, we exceed the L.A. basin in ozone sometimes in the winter for a county that has roughly 10,000 people in it. And you certainly don't see a lot of people hunting or recreating or camping or fishing down in the Jonah Field or the Anticline. So it truly changes the character of the land from, as Zane mentioned earlier, a multi-use to a single industrial function.
Zane, any questions you'd like to ask Dan?
One question that comes to mind with us is we've gotten pushback from some folks that are worried that our efforts are just a step towards wilderness and thus restriction of some of the existing uses on the land thus far. Did you all face similar concerns from potentially the OHV community, mountain biking community, any of the recreationalists in the area?
Actually not. There was some concern from the local politicians about the wilderness designation and about the use of some of the threatened species designated habitat like lynx. But from a sportsman's perspective, like you're talking about, we didn't really have any.
Okay.
This is William Evans. I'm speaking with Dan Smitherman and Zane Kessler about the buyout that Dan and his group has been able to achieve to protect the Hoback Basin and drainage from drilling in northern Sublette County, Wyoming. In both our cases here, it seems people want to hold a boundary around an area they recognize has a value beyond what people who hold the leases seem to appreciate. That's a communication challenge. And it's a diplomatic challenge to hold that boundary and yet maintain the relationships. I'd like to hear from both of you about how you approach that. And you've said a little bit, I know, Dan, but I'd like to hear more.
Yeah, I guess and from my perception, one of the reasons that the boundary issue I think is so contentious is the NEPA process and the leasing process itself is extremely flawed. And I think that the boundary withdrawal legislation approach has come to the forefront because at the present, that's the only way we have to get around that flawed process to protect, you know, places that we think is special. I know in our case with the Legacy Act, that was the most difficult diplomatic challenge because we were dealing with state officials, county commissioners from more than one county, and convincing everybody about where the boundaries should lie to protect this area and where they shouldn't lie was very difficult. And in our case, the compromise turned out to be the grandfathering of the valid leases that were within that boundary. And then the second part of that was really good was allowing the language in the legislation that once a decision was made to sell a lease back or retire a lease, there was a process in place to do that without going through another contentious cycle of debate and legislation.
Zane?
Yeah, I think with regards to boundaries, it was pretty easy for our group to identify the boundaries. The Thompson Divide area, as it is, follows watersheds, and those watersheds provide the boundaries for us. Additionally, the lands within Thompson Divide are largely roadless. The vast majority of land within Thompson Divide is undeveloped. It was pretty easy, I think, for our organization at its inception to pretty much just stick a stake in the ground and say, this area is encircled by millions of acres of developed lands on the forest around us. And so I think because of the qualities, the game management units, the watersheds, and a whole host of other reasons, it was pretty easy to set those boundaries for the Thompson Divide area. You mentioned diplomacy, and something that Dan touched on earlier is something that we strive for all the time, and that's simply not to demonize the industry. The Thompson Divide Coalition is working to engage industry members in an effort to make them whole on their investment. And it's pretty tough to negotiate with somebody if you're calling them names behind their back and, coming at them with a smile the next day. So one of the best things that I think we as a coalition can do is recognize that, this isn't an anti-industry effort. This is more of an effort of local stakeholders to work with industry in an effort to walk away with a win-win situation, really.
Yeah, and I would certainly commend you and the Thompson Divide Coalition for the courtesy with which you do speak of the drilling companies. It's an emotional issue for many people. It's an emotional issue for me as a physician because I am responsible for my health and in past years have been responsible for the health of other people. Dan, just to go over the details a little bit of your agreement, am I correct? Is it an $8.75 million buyout for retiring the leases of 136 wells on 58,000 acres?
That's essentially correct. The master development plan for the specific development proposal was actually only about 22,000 acres, and it was 136 wells. But when we engaged the company, we engaged them not only to buy just the leases where those wells were, but we bought all the leases that they wholly held in the Legacy Act boundary area, which took them from 22,000 to roughly 59,000 acres.
And Zane, what's the offer we've made, and what are the number of acres in the wells we're looking at?
Well, we're looking just at about 100,000 total acres of leased lands within the Thompson Divide area. The coalition has, as many folks know, made an initial offer of $2.5 million, which is essentially the cost of public record. Most of these leases sold for the statutory minimum of $2 an acre, add in rental fees and other costs incurred by the industry members. We came up with a cumulative amount of $2.5 million. We recognize that we're going to have to come up in that offer, and we need to work with industry in order to do some lease appraisals and some mineral assessments to determine what the true market value of these leases are.
And Dan, just to give us an idea of the time frame, you've been working at this for how long?
On the PXP Noble Basin specific project, I really ramped up about May of 2010.
But you started when?
In the summer of 2005.
Yeah. So you've been at it 7 years.
That's correct.
Yeah. And it's a long-term endurance event, isn't it?
It is. Emotional balance is the word I use because there's so many highs and lows that you have to, you have to stay focused down the road on what the end goal is and not let the little tactical losses and tactical wins influence where you're going.
Well, that's a really important area, and for me, it's linked with the question I ask you, who are you, and how do you see yourself in this issue? Because I think our identity has to be stronger than those emotional roller coasters that we inevitably get caught on when we embark on something like this. Can you say more about that?
Well, for me, you know, I kind of got to where I'm at today, not by choice, just because somebody needed to step up and do it, and people supported me. I guess in every campaign, there's someone like me who needs to get involved. I think I probably was willing to take that step this time because of my connection. Like I mentioned, I'd guided and hunted and owned a business that was going to be affected. And then I live 7 miles as the crow flies from where those oil and gas wells would have been put. So I had a very strong personal and family connection to the land, which I think kind of encouraged me to step up and take that leadership role.
Zane, are you comfortable sharing any of how you keep your balance? Because you've been relatively recent to this, but you know the terrain and the emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, I think it's always important, and I try to remind myself this every day that this is a long game, and it's absolutely, as Dan mentioned, it's imperative that you not focus on the tactical wins or losses, but really focus on the long term. Strategy and objective. For me, you know, I've got family in this valley. I've spent my childhood on the Roaring Fork River, and you know, learned how to fly fish here. It's personal for me, but in the long run, we at least with regards to the immediate policy objective of passing legislation at the federal level, you know, I think we as a community need to really unify or stand united in support of this effort and recognize that. You know, it's we're going to take some hits some days, and we're going to take some leaps other days. So it's a matter of just kind of staying focused on the long game, and reminding ourselves when we see the headlines that another company's filed an application to drill, that this is a you know, it is a long game.
And Dan, I assume a lot of your support is local and probably up in Jackson. But how big a range did people come to stand with you?
It's amazing. Certainly from the West Coast, I've had, you know, $2 donation checks from Minnesota, from Oklahoma, from the East Coast. It's really amazing the how broad the support is. Numerically, you're absolutely correct. Probably the majority of the people who stand behind us are either Western Wyoming or Northern Utah, because we have a lot of Utah people that use this part of the Wyoming range. But it's certainly national in scope, as well as being local.
Zane, anything you want to say in closing?
You know, we'd really appreciate the work that Dan and all of the supporters north of us have been doing on the Hoback and the Wyoming Range in general. This is it provides us an excellent model to follow. And while there's certainly some apples and oranges in there, it really is an incredible conservation effort and a unique approach to working with industry to protect certain lands. And thank you for the model. We're working to follow it as closely as we can down here.
Dan, how about you? What would you say in closing, and who inspired you?
I don't know if any one individual inspired me. I was going to add, though, that the thing that's probably helped me the most is I had excellent support from two mainstream moderate conservation organizations who had experience in these type of campaigns, and that was the Wilderness Society and the Wyoming Outdoor Council. And to echo what Zane said about model, you know, we used a lot of this the examples that were set on the Rocky Mountain Front in Montana on their lease buyout. So it appears that this model has a way of kind of hatching new approaches and new successes as we come down the Rocky Mountains. So I certainly hope that what we've done helps Zane's group out, and we're more than happy to help any way we can.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. This is William Evans. I've been speaking with Dan Smitherman, who's headed up an organization that succeeded in buying out the leases, or having the agreement at least. He's still raising money to buy out the leases in the Hoback Drainage of Wyoming, and Zane Kessler, the executive director of the Thompson Divide Coalition. Thank you, gentlemen. This is KDNK.
You're welcome, Will. Thank you.
Thank you, Will.